But let me bring our attention now to the reading of God's Word. Today is Psalm 127, all five verses. Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. For he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of that word. This psalm is called a psalm of ascent. It might be labeled that way in your Bible. That's from Psalms 120 through Psalm 134. Psalms of ascent, according to tradition, were psalms that were sung by those who were going up to Jerusalem to worship. And as they would go up to Jerusalem, they would sing these psalms in preparation to prepare their hearts for the worship of God once they got into the temple. And so these psalms speak of great things that the Lord will do and can do. And it speaks God's truth into the hearts of those who were going up. And we say up because Jerusalem was at a higher elevation than the surrounding areas. And so the psalm of ascent, as you were going up to Jerusalem. That wasn't like some of the expressions we have here where we're saying we're going over yonder or going up there. This was actually going up to Jerusalem. And so Psalms of Ascent, just something that you can tuck away for your Sunday school class. Your thought for today is this, and it's very simple. Dad, point your children toward Christ. Dad, point your children toward Christ. Everything is ultimately dependent upon the blessing of God. Let me repeat that. Everything is ultimately dependent upon the blessing of God. And this psalm wants to reinforce in the hearts of all who heard it sung that very same truth, that everything is ultimately dependent upon the blessing of God. So if you're trying to build a home, if you're trying to watch over a city, if you're trying to raise children, everything is ultimately dependent upon the blessing of God. There are warnings here about those who would try to take on these kinds of labors. And folks, we all know that we can get caught up in these material things that keep us up at night. And what I'm saying this day, I don't want anybody to think that I'm making light of this, but this is scripture that was trying to point a believer's heart toward his or her God. And so these psalms were structured so as to remind us of who holds our ultimate destiny, and that is our Lord and Savior. And so as these people were singing these songs, they were reminding themselves not to put so much emphasis on the material things. Because we all know that unless the Lord is in it, then we're just leaving it up to our own strength or our own power to protect, to guard, to guide, to build. That is a very famous verse there in that verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. That could speak to both a structural house, a physical house, or a family. As David was called the house of David. It was called the house of David because it was his family and it was his children and their children's children. And so it's reminding us all, dads, that as we go about this business of fatherhood, it is incumbent upon us to very early invite the favor of the Lord upon our efforts and to seek his hand in what we are trying to do, seek his blessing into what we are trying to do as we look to him for guidance and grace and forgiveness many times as we're trying to raise our children and to teach them right. I call this sermon today, Aiming Your Arrows, because of verse 3. And we'll see that in just a moment. But a child needs to have direction, as we all know. And so one of the things that this psalm reminds us of is that we worry so much over the stuff of life and we neglect the important relationships that are ours. The important relationships that are ours in husband as husband and wife, the important relationships that are ours as parents to our children. We can get so caught up in providing fun things for our children that we forget the relationship building that is there. Never neglect that relationship. And if you think that you have neglected it, and if your children have now gone on like mine are with families of their own, it's still not too late to try to rebuild or to build that relationship with them. To let them know that how special they are in your life. To let them know how much you love them and care about them. To share with them the things of truth from Scripture that you have learned in your life. And to be the dad that you need to be in their life. That foundational person within their lives that they need to be. Because what we do as parents gives our children that solid platform that they need if they're going to launch into this next part of their life. As we saw Katie coming this day, and she's getting ready to go into that next transition point in her life in post-secondary education. And she is an example for all of us this day, and this Father's Day, on what we as dads strive to be. And that is those who teach our children God's truth. Those who lead by example within our family. Those who we can say like Paul, look at me and see the things that I do. Not so much that we preach that, but that we live that way. We are men of integrity. That's what we strive to be. Men who hold God's truth and we share that truth. Men who live that truth of God out before our families, so that our families can see God being lived out before them, because that's what children want to see. It's been said many times in here and in other places that one of the best things a husband can do for his family is to love the mother of the children. That gives that home stability. That gives that home, that child a model of what life is going to, adult life is to be like. And as much as those parents can love each other and provide that stability in the home, then that is going to help those children to even launch in a stronger position in life as they go out. And so whether you're a builder of a home or you're a watchman over the city, dads, both of those titles can apply to us as both builder of the home as well as the watchman over the city. And so this encouragement here is that we are to seek God's grace and God's favor in our endeavors to build this home, to watch over that home, because we are the defenders of that home. It is God's desire that the man be the leader of that home and the spiritual head of that home. And what that means is, guys, that we are to prepare ourselves in a way that we are to battle those outside forces that want to seep into our home and to upset, to degrade, to confuse our children. We are to love our wives. We are to love our children. We are to live our lives in a way that they can see God at work in us and God at work in this family. And so, men, we are both builders and watchers over our families. So pray that God's guidance will be there for you. The next thing I want to share with you is our growing faith in God gives us growing peace in our lives. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest. That is what we're talking about as a general truth. As a general truth, many men work crazy hours trying to get ahead, trying to make money, trying to get ahead in this life, because that's who we are. We are wired that way. We are conquerors. And now, since we are not out fighting like man of old used to be, you have stories in the Scripture of Abraham going to rescue Lot, who had been captured, and so Abraham took men who had been born in his own household and had been trained for battle, and Abraham led them out and rescued Lot from a foreign enemy. So we don't have to do that anymore, but we are still conquerors. We are still wired to be that way, and so we get that emotion there by being leaders, by attaining, by achieving. And so, guys, one of the things that we need to be on guard for is that in our striving to achieve and to attain, we don't neglect the ones that we say we're trying to strive and to achieve for. It's easy to pursue desires. It's easy to pursue even noble desires. But guys, I want to tell you, and I'm telling all of us this, the strongest enemy that you will face in your life will be yourself. The strongest enemy that you're going to face in your life will be yourself. Because there are desires there to be the person you want to be. There are desires there to do the things that you want to be. And there are going to be times when your responsibility to your family comes in conflict with those personal desires. And so those are those moments that you seek God's grace and God's guidance for, not only for your own wisdom in how to lead yourself through these situations, but also that God will give you peace in that situation. Because we all have our outlets, and there's nothing in Scripture, there's nothing that what I'm saying from this pulpit this morning that is trying to discourage you from pursuing your hobbies and your interests. I have them the same as you. But there is time and place. And so, guys, it is incumbent upon us as spiritual heads of the home, as the leaders of the home, to put in perspective our own lives. See our own desires, our own ambition, if you will, as a competing force within our life. And ask God's grace and wisdom in how to contain that, how to manage it, and how to put it in proper perspective. Scripture here is saying men pursue achievement and they get up early, they go to bed late, all in pursuit of achievement and attaining things. That's what eating the bread of anxious toil means. But he said he gives to his beloved sleep, not so much sleep at night, but rest in knowing that God will either bless his efforts as he puts into his work, or that God will give him the peace that he needs, knowing that he can, that whatever he has attained, it will be enough for his family. That is what we hope to see here in this verse 2, that there is peace that comes in God. I know when you work, you go out on those 40-hour plus weeks, and I've been right there with you, 50, 60 hours a week. And we come home, we're dead tired. The last thing that we need to do, or the last thing that we want to do, is spend time in play. We just want to eat. We just want to go to bed. We just want to prepare ourselves for the next day. But one of the things that I've regretted in my life is saying no when one or both of my children asked me to read to them. It was a simple thing. I could have read a story. But in that moment, I succumbed to myself, to the competition that was in me, that I wanted to pursue my desire. And so I'm telling you that out of personal experience. Take the time to share with your child as something that he or she will always treasure in their lives. And when you get older, so will you, that extra time that you spend there. See your children as a gift to be cherished. That's what verse 3 is all about. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Back in the day when these words were written, large families that we'll see in just a moment were seen as a gift. We've read stories in our Sunday school about how women of God, women of Scripture, were devastated because they could not have children. Children were seen as a blessing. They were the social security of the time, if you will. And so children were a blessing from God. And we see in women like Hannah, who prayed for Samuel, and Sarah, who God blessed with Isaac very late in life. But these women were devastated that they could not have children. And so they were worried that their husbands would not love them, that they would not feel their place in society. And so children were seen as a great and precious gift. Too often in our society nowadays, children are seen as an inconvenience. And that's a very sad thing. Children are seen as an inconvenience. Something that's eating into my time. Something that's eating into the person that I want to be. Something that I really could do without right now. And so we're very confused sometimes about how people whose most earnest desire is to have children can't have them, and those who don't seem to appreciate them have them. And I don't have an answer for you there. I'm just stating a fact of the way the world is. And so what Scripture wants us to do as the church is to see our children as the precious, treasured gifts that they are. They are not an inconvenience. They are a gift that is to be built up and is to be treasured. To fulfill their purpose, though, children have to be properly prepared. It says, like arrows in the hand of a warrior. Now, there are those who would disagree with me, but I see this too as arrows that are being directed. The original language says arrows in the hand of a mighty man. A mighty man was interpreted as a warrior, but he was someone who wasn't, you know, in athletics, you've got those first stringers and then you've got those that come in the fourth quarter, you know, when the game's pretty much over. Well, a mighty man was those first stringers. He was the ones that you were going to send out into battle. And so what made him a mighty man of war was his ability to be successful in those conflicts that he had. And so he was able to aim those arrows. Those arrows struck their mark more often than they missed those marks. But I'm here to tell you, as one who has been an archer for a considerable amount of time, there's a lot of work that goes into an arrow. A book I read a long time ago, there was a Yanni Indian by the name of Ishii, and Saxton Pope, and I think his name was Burt Young, that we get Pope and Young, if any of you hunters have ever heard of that. He taught them the basics of bow hunting. And even though archery was already there by the time Ishii lived with them, he taught them the ins and outs of how he did it. But one of the things that is reported that he said was that any bow, now this is a man that made everything. You know, he didn't go to a store and buy it. He didn't go have somebody set it up for him. He took it, he cut it out of the forest, he made everything. He said any bow is a good bow. But he said a good arrow is a lot of work. And so remember that when we're talking about our children. And that's how I see this passage reminding us this day, like arrows in the hand of a warrior. What makes that man a warrior is successfully completing his missions. He goes out and he's successful in that, which means that his weapons are well directed and they accomplish the purposes of those weapons. And so what we want to see in our children is that our children have a purpose. They have been given to us as a gift from God. And we, as leaders of that home, are to work that arrow. We are to finish that arrow. We are to craft that arrow so that arrow then accomplishes the purpose that God intends for it to. We aid that arrow in becoming the best arrow it can be to accomplish that purpose, to hit that mark. And then we help that arrow aim to the mark that is Christ. And so see that in how you deal with your children. It doesn't matter whether your children are still at home or whether they've grown up with children of their own. own, we can still help that child aim to become the child that he or she, that God wants he or she to be. So that is our purpose, guys. That's one of the major purposes that we as husbands and fathers have in our lives, is to help our children be and fulfill the purpose that God has for them, because they need preparation. I understand that not all of you are schooled in Scripture. I understand that not all of you are gifted in teaching. But all of you can talk to your children. All of you can read God's Word. And all of you can share God with your children. But it comes down to that desire of conquering yourself. As I said, you're going to be the strongest enemy to yourself that you're going to face in this life. You're going to be the strongest adversary to yourself that you're going to face in this life. And I'm encouraging you today to overcome yourself so that you can be the man of God that God wants you to be. To reflect the character of God within your family, and how you deal, and how you love your wife, and how you love your children, and especially in how you help your children become those arrows that they need to be so that they will hit their mark. Help them to aim and be sure that they're aimed at Christ. Because verse 5 reminds us that properly aimed arrows are taught to glorify God in their life. Properly aimed arrows will have our backs, folks. What it's talking about here is that blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He will not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Why is that? Because in this case, his sons will have his back. Back in the day when these words are being written. But we all know that eventually we reach a stage where our children perhaps are more capable of handling sometimes our own affairs than we are. I know we don't like to admit that. But sometimes we can reach a stage where that is the truth. And so we need to be aware that children that are raised in a godly home, that are taught to glorify God, will be properly aimed arrows that knows what it means and will have ingrained in them to honor their father and mother. It was told to me one time, be mindful what you do to your children, because one day they'll be feeding you grits. There's some logic in that. Be mindful of the relationship you have with your children, because one day they'll be the ones feeding you the grits. And so, Scripture here is wanting us to know that the effort we put into our children will pay off in the long run, because we will have directed them toward Christ. We will have helped them prepare to be the arrow that God wants them to be as we point them toward Christ. And that we will have ingrained in them the honor of God and the honor of God's laws, and to be the young men and women that He wants them to grow up to be. I want to leave you with this quote from Sorensen. He said, "A child is not likely to find a father in God unless he finds something of God in his father." A child is not likely to find a father in God unless he finds something of God in his father. Let me pray for you. Father, we just come before you this day, thanking you for our dads, thanking you that you have come to us offering yourself as a guide for fatherhood. And so we pray that the men within here will take advantage of this offering of grace that is ours in Christ. That you will help us be the men that we need to be within our families. Whether you have blessed us with children or not, may we be the men that we need to be within our families, seeking your glory and the glory of our families. Father, I just thank you again for all that you've allowed within our lives this day as we have worshiped you. And may this worship service go with us to quicken our steps and to draw us closer to you in Christ. Amen.